Hey there, I'm Sheila Chester, the founder of Raising Grace Podcast. I'm the mother of three children. I spent over a decade dealing with infertility and struggling to build my family in any way possible. Our marriage struggled, my mental health struggled, but we got through it. We adopted two children through domestic infant adoption and have one biological child through IVF. I've written extensively about my experiences in the adoption process and going through infertility in my blog at SheilaKChester.com. But I'm tired of writing about myself. I have built my family and now work every day to say and do the right things as a mother. I fail regularly, I apologize often, and I worry that I'm screwing my kids up every single day. I reach out to close friends with kids of all ages to try to find new techniques and check in to see that I'm doing the right things to help my kids grow into amazing human beings who love themselves and love others. So you ask, what is this podcast about? Well, simply put, it's about raising kids right now, raising kids through a pandemic, through school shooting scares, through technology difficulties, through political and social chaos, through it all, right here, right now. I'll be talking mostly to people I know. I've contacted several people I know who have stories worth telling. Some are extraordinary and others are ordinary. And the truth is, we all have a story worth telling and a story worth sharing. The main theme is parenting kids right now in our current struggles and in our current joys. So many of the people I've been interviewing are people I have personally asked for advice on or people I've been following on social media. This first set of podcasts includes mothers, though eventually I'd love to interview fathers. The people I interview are married, they're divorced, they live in cities, some live in the middle of nowhere, they own their own businesses, they stay at home with the kids, they might have traumatic pasts, they might be living through a traumatic present, some are liberal, some are conservative, some are faithful, some are faithless. But they all have one thing in common. They love their kids, and they're doing their very best to make it work. My hope is that parents who listen to this podcast find pieces of themselves in the people I interview. I also hope they find inspiration for a new way of parenting. Listen, I am not a professional podcaster, and I don't have the best gear, the best microphone, the best setup yet. I'm still learning. Some of the interviews have less than desirable audio, but I promise I'm getting better, so stick with me. You can find podcast information, links, and notes on my website at SheilaKChester.com/podcast. You can help support my podcast by checking out my Patreon page, which is also linked on my website. Raising grace for me means to give yourself and your kids grace in the great commotion of life. Raising kids gracefully is the goal, but it doesn't always work that way. My journey through these interviews is to find how other parents raise their kids with grace. What grace are they giving themselves through the process of parenting? And how can I learn from them? Being a parent is hard. How can we raise our children in the midst of hard times? How can we do it with grace? How can we as parents of young children come together and encourage each other to see their child with grace and understanding, to see ourselves with grace and understanding? I'm an amateur parent like the rest of us. Let's support one another with love and grace. Now I'm going to give you a chance to listen to a portion of the interview of our first season of Raising Grace. Thank you to all of my friends who agreed to join me on this wild project. We will start with Beth Schaefer, a friend, a teacher, a singer, a dancer, a single mother, and a birth mother. Beth has a lot to share about living as a single mother to her 11-year-old daughter, as well as her experience as a biological mother to a child she placed for adoption over 25 years ago.
So I was in college and I was 18 and I got pregnant with my boyfriend at the time. And, it was one of those things that I guess probably because my mom always raised me to be accountable for my actions, So not that I have any issues with abortion. I do not politically, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I have no issues. But personally, I couldn't take that route. I knew that I couldn't be the, you know, I couldn't raise him. I couldn't give him what he needed. You know, mm-hmm. I was still a college student and, you know, obviously didn't make it with that relationship. So I knew that it wasn't going to be what he deserved for me to keep him. So I kind of just knew right away that adoption was the option for me, but I had to do an open adoption because I needed to know that he was okay.
Brenda Herbrand is a dear friend, a teacher, and a dedicated and very intentional single mother through domestic infant adoption. Brenda talks about what it took for her to adopt as a single woman and the difficulties she faced during the adoption process. She talks about her deep love for her child's birth mother. She has built a community around her to support everything she needs to be the best mother and best woman she can be. I'm so grateful I get to be a part of that community.
So I got to the hospital 4 hours after she was born, and I walked in the door, and her birth mother had had a previous delivery where she had hemorrhaged after the delivery. And so I was very concerned for her, for this
for
process.
The birth mother.
For the birth mother. And so mm-hmm. I walked in the room and I walked up to her and I gave her a hug and I was, how are you? Are you doing okay? And I probably spent at least 3 minutes. And she finally looked at me and she said, I'm going to cry just saying it. Don't you want to go see your daughter? And because she was upset that I was focusing on her, she thought, but how do I not focus on her? Like you said, she's family.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. So then I went and held her for the first time and cried all over her and promised I would not always cry on her.
Erica Kohler is a lifelong friend of mine, a veterinarian, a business owner, the wife of a business owner, a quick draw sharpshooter, a dancing fool, a full life liver, and mother of two kids. To say she's a busy woman is putting it lightly. Erica survives every day with her community by her side. She couldn't do it without her posse, which includes friends, neighbors, and her family. She lives on her family's ranch with her two kids and her husband outside of our rural hometown in South Dakota.
Well, we might slow down on that. I'm hoping we slow down on that because, you know, there was a time when it was just myself and my business partner and the two of us were going, I mean, it was constant.
And that's when you had little kids.
Oh yeah. When I had babies, like we might talk about this, but my maternity leave was 4 weeks and that was pushing it. I really struggled. I mean, I pushed for 4 weeks to get mm-hmm. back before I went back to work. It was just kind of a standard thing. Like I knew I was going to work until they were born and I was going to work as soon as I could afterwards. And I had two C-sections. I mean, it was challenging, and then nightless nights with no sleep and being on call at the same time. And
mm-hmm. because there was no, you don't have a backup. There's not a backup vet that comes in.
I don't have sick leave.
Right.
When I'm sick, when I have a cold, and I hate to admit this, I still go to work. I put on a mask and I bar myself on the other side of the chute.
Amy Stanton is a business owner, an involved mother of three very busy kids spanning elementary, middle school, and high school. She talks about her journey with a heart condition that could have easily killed her had she not followed her intuition and taken care of her own health. Since surviving heart surgery, she has taken her life by the horns and lives every moment to the fullest, no matter how chaotic it may get.
So I did sound crazy, but something in my head just kept telling me to ask these questions and like bring this up to her. Like I couldn't sleep since I watched the show. Like from Sunday to Tuesday, I just had to tell her, and it was like on my brain when I woke up, and it was on my brain when I went to bed. So anyway, she did a quick EKG, or she had the nurse do it or whatever. And then the nurse went out and grabbed her and gave her the report, and she came running back in and said, "This tells me you're gonna have a heart attack at any minute. And if I don't get you to a cardiologist, you need to see a cardiologist today. If you can't see one today, I'm going to admit you to Littleton Hospital."
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
No. This is dead serious.
Unbelievable.
Yes. So she made all these calls, and I still have my EKG in my office, it's in a file cabinet in my office. I actually want to get a tattoo of it because anyone in the medical world would know that it had a messed up EKG. Like it was, when it went up, it went down instead of it.
Savannah Simmons is a cowgirl and a creative entrepreneur. She lives in a very rural part of Wyoming with her husband, who is a real life cowboy, and their two boys. She talks about the challenges and joys of country living. She is a self-published author and artist. She gets inspiration from her two sons, Brendel and Roan, who live for adventure and exploring on the ranch. I know my son loves playing with these boys when we're back visiting my parents. Savannah is really living her best life on the Great Plains.
Hobbling is essentially tying their front feet together comfortably.
So they don't run off.
It's not uncomfortable. So then they can eat grass and enjoy their lives while you're branding.
And not run off.
The calves, they don't run off. Yeah. You don't have to tie them to a trailer, but they still stay put. And so Brendel used his hobbles for the first time ever that he got, I think, for his first or second birthday from his godparents. So he's had these hobbles. I think they have his initials and everything. They're sweet as can be. But he's never used them. So he had his little hobbles set out by his boots the night before, and he was going to hobble his pony the next day, just fretted about it all night long. I just knew he was he hardly slept. He was so worried about hobbling his pony. And he comes in after branding the next day, and I was like, "Hey, bud, how'd it go?" "Mom," he said, "his pony is Freedom," which I think is sort of poetic. Oh, a pony
his
named
pony's
Freedom.
Name Freedom.
A pony named Freedom. Isn't that just like a children's book? And
right, it is. It is Freedom.
So his pony named Freedom. He goes, "Mom, Freedom and hobbles go together like cake and frosting." And I just knew that the day went okay. And that's
yes.
Micah Bowers is an entrepreneur, a military wife, and an outspoken mother of two very sassy girls. She talks about their time living in Japan, as well as the transition back to the United States during a pandemic and a cancer scare. Micah discusses dealing with postpartum depression and how she now works with new moms to find peace through pregnancy and postpartum.
It was the most amazing experience I've had in my life to date. I've never experienced something more incredible than living in Japan and having our children be like involved in the community. They both went to Japanese preschools, yochiens. They loved it. Felix, especially the oldest, she learned so much at her school. She was speaking Japanese on the regular. She still currently loves a lot of the food that she would eat for lunch. Like she loves her onigiri, which is like these little rice balls that are wrapped in seaweed. And she loves her seaweed snacks. She loves sushi, like lives for sushi. Like ramen, they would murder a juggalo for ramen.
Kelly Fullerton is an entrepreneur and chronic pain warrior. Kelly has dealt with an invisible and painful autoimmune disease most of her life. In the midst of that, she worked to become a mother and has learned to parent through her physical pain. She now runs a business helping others on their life's journey. When the world feels dark, let your soul shine.
Yeah, good question. So I got diagnosed at 29 and I went to randomly, there was like a connective tissue symposium that was being held in Colorado. And I was like, I'm going to go to that thing. And one of the speakers talked about family planning. And they were like, for people that have connective tissue disorders, you should have kids earlier on because your body just like crumbles, essentially. And they were like, so you should start having kids in your 20s. And I was like, I'm going to be 30 in like 2 months. What are we doing? So, you know, pulled the goalie. And then because we had always planned on having like a couple, maybe three kids. And I was like, I have a feeling my body is going to have a tough time with this, just because that's what my body has done.
Vanessa McBride is a longtime friend of mine. She's an entrepreneur, elementary school counselor, a mother of four children, a military wife, and the daughter of a strong single mother. Vanessa unexpectedly got pregnant just after graduating high school. her and her boyfriend chose to stay together and parent this new life they created. They've been together ever since. Their story isn't the norm. It's extraordinary. It didn't come easily. Together, they created a solid foundation for their family and tell us what it takes to survive the hardest moments of life.
Yeah. Why is it so hard for moms to give themselves grace?
Because it's our most important job.
We're givers and not receivers.
We are givers and not receivers. Yeah,
and the job's not done. So I think there's a fear of claiming victory when the job is not ever done.
Mm-hmm.
So I could sit here today and talk to you about how these are my accomplishments and I feel like I've really had this victory in this, but, you know, my kids essentially could decide not to have a relationship with me as an adult. And I think that is my greatest fear in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So to claim a victory today, I can't claim that because this isn't, it's not over.
Kate Schwint is an entrepreneur, a stepmother, and she shares guardianship of her stepdaughter's children. Kate came into a family after their mother had died of cancer. She helped raise teens with a traumatic past. She now helps raise the children of those children. Her journey has not been an easy one, but her love of these kids goes beyond anything you can imagine. Blood doesn't make a mother. Love does.
When I met Darren, the kids were 9 and going to be 15. And it was crazy because Christina had only passed away about a year before we met online. And I think that he really just, he was, you know, obviously lonely, but he was also like, I feel so bad for the kids. Like, I wish they had someone in their life too. And I think that they were also kind of missing a female presence. And so almost 2 months after we started connecting online is when we first met. Like, we took a long time because he posted that he was a widow. So I was like, well, this is not going to be something easy. And maybe.
And lastly, Kaylin Wright is my aunt, only 10 years older than me. She had a completely different life from the rest of my mother's family. She was the youngest of 7 children, with her oldest sibling being 20 years older. She was raised mostly as an only child after her father died when she was just 12. She talks about how a fatherless childhood shaped her and changed her. Her unique story is not only unique to my personal family, but unique in that I don't know many people that have experienced anything like this. She has and deeply loves 4 biological children, but she's only able to know 2 of them. She lost contact with 2 of her children due to incarceration in her 20s and was never able to get reconnected with them after being released from prison. I could go on and on with this introduction, but I want you to hear this interview. This interview is proof that you just can't predict life on genetics alone, and you can't judge a person on their past. She currently lives with her husband and 2 kids in an RV as an entrepreneur and a homeschooler.
But when I was arrested, they were 36 months. Justice had just turned 3 and 15 months. So Dylan was 15 months. We lived and worked in the same building. So I had a live-in nanny. So I was still nursing both of them. I was still actively involved with them. I just had a nanny there that was, you know, would bring them in and take them out and lived with us, you know, had a room in our house, all that kind of stuff. So it was a completely different, life that we lived in Canada. So when I was arrested, took it to trial, I ended up being sentenced to 9 years in federal prison. During that time, the nanny that Rick hired while I was going through this, and is now his wife and has been his wife for like 20 some years. And she ended up raising the boys. And so,
wow. There it is. Season 1 is in the books. The podcasts will last about an hour long. I've done as much editing as I could to keep them under an hour while also keeping the content as authentic and beneficial as possible. Each of these women has a story worth telling. I'll post their business websites in the show notes after each podcast is published so you can support them. Where do you find this podcast? Well, I'll be posting them regularly on my Facebook page, and they will always be available on my website at SheilaKChester.com/podcast. You can join my mailing list on my website to get an email when the next podcast is released. I'm publishing through Buzzsprout, which will make the podcast available through most popular podcasting agencies like Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, etc. All links will be located on my website. You can also follow me on all the socials titled at Raising Grace Podcasts. That's on Facebook and Instagram. That's where I'll be publishing all the podcasts as they come out. Remember, you must like and follow the pages to actually get notifications. I'm publishing every other week on Tuesdays starting November 1st. Beyond this project, I will be doing a short weekly podcast called Sheila's Take. Here I, Sheila, give my thoughts on things. Thoughts come up all the time, all over the place thoughts. Here, I'll give you little snippets of my brain. Sometimes they'll be serious, other times funny, sometimes spiritual, other times not so much. Take a peek through this small window of my thoughts through Sheila's Take. I'm not an expert at anything, and I don't have any fancy titles behind my name. I'm just a human trying to figure things out as I go. I'm already working on interviews for season 2 of Raising Grace podcast, so keep an eye out for the season 2 preview around February of 2023. Once again, thank you so much for listening. The number one way you can support this podcast is by sharing it with your friends through social media or texting or text messaging. The number 1B way you can support this podcast is by writing a review. You could submit reviews on your podcasting host, so Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever it is you're listening to your podcast on. Please submit a review for this one. Lastly, if you really, really love what I'm doing and want to support this podcast financially, you can go to my website where I have linked my Patreon account. There you can get a paid subscription. I have spent hours creating this with zero financial compensation, and I'm so glad I get to offer it to you for free. But any extra funding will help me become a better podcaster and will encourage me to continue this project for the long term. Listen, we are all just doing our best here. Being a parent is hard. How can we raise our children in the hardest of times with grace? How can we, as parents of young children, come together and encourage each other to see their child with grace and understanding? To see ourselves with grace and understanding. I'm an amateur parent like the rest of us. Let's support one another with love and grace. Thanks for listening to Raising Grace Podcast.
That's ready, ready on that.
Say, this is my mom, Sheila Chester. Say, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Say, have a nice day.